The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1 with Elavon Merchant Services. Growing your business is easy peasy with us by your side.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's Tuesday morning, the 17th of May, 2022. We're here till 10 o'clock. At 9:05, good to have your company today. The email is ryan@rte.ie and you can text 51551. 17th of May. May's running away, isn't it? This is zipping along. Goodo. Great. Okay, so what do we got for you today? Plenty today. From 4-day weeks to clocking off early, how workers are witnessing the end of 9 to 5. I think 9 to 5 is slowly becoming a thing of the past. That's what they're saying here this week. One of the big four, certainly in the UK, I think it is one of the big four accountancy firms, PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers, announced it was reintroducing and extending summer working hours. They tried it last year. We spoke to Margaret Cox in Galway about this a few weeks ago. They're trying it all over Ireland as well. They're looking at 6-month pilot programs, trialling the 4-day working week across 60 firms in the UK, at least. I know they're looking at it here too, but you know, some people aren't into it. They think, no, it's not working. It's not good for productivity. It doesn't work for us. Alan Sugar, you know, from The Apprentice, said, this is a bloody joke. The lazy gits make me sick. Call me old-fashioned, but all this work from home BS is a total joke. There's no way people work as hard or productively as when they had to turn up at a work location. Jacob Rees-Mogg said the same thing in the UK government-wise. But there you're looking at, well, Jason Rees-Mogg is a young man trapped in the body of a Victorian. And Alan Sugar would certainly come from, we have a certain work ethic and vintage, I suppose. We might feel differently to what a lot of the current influx of workers might be thinking. Anyway, back to PwC, one of a number of firms offering summer working hours. KPMG, another accountancy firm, offering 2.5 hours off a week during the summer last year. And they surveyed the staff and, shock, 90% of the turkeys said Christmas is a bad idea. 90% of the staff thought, it's a great idea. Summer policy hours, all summer. Yes, please, we'll have some of that. And 73% said it positively impacted their general well-being. It's got to be a good thing. I mean, if that's follow the science, follow the maths. Because that's the feeling there on all of that. Now, they're a pretty grim story. But I tell you what, I went to see Downton Abbey. Now, hold on. Now, enough with the judgment. I went to see Downton Abbey. I went on my own, which is one of my favourite things in the world to do, is go and see a film on my own. And I thought, okay, Operation Mincemeat is going to be on in half an hour. And Downton Abbey's on now. And I want to go now. Farouk Assault, I want it now. And I went to see it, and I saw the previous movie. I couldn't tell you one thing about the previous, nothing. And I enjoyed it immensely. And I watched, I think, the first season of Downton Abbey, and then it lost me. So I was worried I wouldn't know any of the characters or whatever. And then I realised as I sat there watching it, actually, do you know what? This is very beautiful. I'm loving these. The house is gorgeous. Look at the furniture, the writing desk, the clothes, the style. Lord Grantham and his tuxedo, and they're trying to. The plot, it's thin, but the bottom line is they want to make a movie in Downton Abbey, and Lord Grantham's nerves are gone. He's got all this business of kinema. He calls it kinema. I can't imagine actors around the place poking and looking at our things. So it's all very telling and knowing, and sure enough, the star of it is a young woman who's got a very thick Cockney accent because it's a silent movie. And this reflects what happened in the real day, because then they realised, no, we need talking movies. What are we going to do? And then out of the stage left comes the elegant and exquisite, because she is that as an actress and as a character, Lady Mary. Michelle Dockery comes out, does her thing. Well, Lady Mary, I love my Lady Mary. Kind of, anyway, out she comes and she does the voice. And then the Cockney kind of just remains the face. And anyway, it was like looking. And then they go and play tennis in France, in the south of France, and they're whites, and it's all very F. Scott Fitzgerald, and it's quite something to look at. And Alan Leach is our Irish representative on the cast too, excellent as always. Maggie Smith who is filming in Ireland somewhere at the moment, and no doubt she's listening. Welcome, Maggie. But she's superlative in it, actually. And it was gorgeous. I disappeared to another time, another place where I probably belong. You know, I'm not meant to be here at all. I'm a monochrome guy in a Technicolor world, but I belonged back then. I'm sure of it. But I quite liked it. So that's what I'll say to you. Downton Abbey, look, I know a lot of people were saying, well, you're just, well, yeah, you oughta. But it just, I liked it. And then when I was there, two things happened. Apart from that, there was me and probably about four people, other people, which is a pity because cinema is such a great experience. The trailer came on for the new Elvis film, the Baz Luhrmann Elvis film. And and it's a slightly longer trailer than I expected. And it looks spectacular. I mean, it covers everything, including Elvis singing Unchained Melody at the very end in the Vegas years. And I cannot wait to see it. And Elvis's daughter, Lisa Marie Presley, went to see a showing of this film. And here, the reviews are in. This could have gone either way. I'd be very nervous if I was Baz Luhrmann sending Elvis Presley's daughter to see this Elvis film. And she has said, here's what she said. She watched the thing. It is nothing short of spectacular, said Lisa Marie Presley. And absolutely exquisite. And the guy playing Elvis, Austin Butler, channeled and embodied my father's heart and soul beautifully, adding, in my humble opinion, his performance is unprecedented. And finally, done accurately and respectfully. And if he doesn't get an Oscar for this, I will eat my own foot. This is Lisa Marie Presley. She also noted that she was moved to tears when she saw how her three daughters, Riley, Harper and Finley, were so filled with pride about their grandfather, Elvis, and his legacy in a way that I've not previously experienced. So that, if that's not a humdinger overview, I don't know what is. That's from ABC, so news in the United States, so one would hope that that's all good. Anyway, I cannot wait to see that as an Elvis fan. That's very exciting. And then this ad came up where in the cinema, where a dinosaur, have you seen this ad? A dinosaur is addressing the United Nations. And it's like I thought it was a trailer for Jurassic Park, but it's actually an ad. And I looked and checked at the end of it. The ad is from the United Nations, who have commissioned this ad where the dinosaur is addressing the members of the UN and saying, don't let history repeat itself. The planet is about to go, it could be extinct if you're not careful. So that was the message, prevent extinction. I actually thought then they were talking about cinema, but no, they were talking about the planet Earth. So lots to look at in the cinema yesterday. That's the truth of it. Kinema was the name if the cinema room of the cinema room in Bolton Street College. We may research this world. Yes, world, older word. Well, this word, sorry, older word for cinema. Was it ever with a K? I don't know. But anyway, Anya was on to say, I totally agree on Downton Abbey. I went last night to an almost empty cinema. I laughed and cried in equal measure. What a treat to the senses. And P.S. the Elvis film looks incredible. Anya, you're singing my song this morning because it was lovely. And the reviews for, by the way, for Downton were 2 stars. I don't think I even saw 3. They weren't very kind to the film, but I must say, it was like, as they say, a kind of old magazine turning the pages. It is what it is, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Oh, the farmers are on, of course, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I know what you're saying. It's just that you can't do a 4-day week. So yeah, it's simply not going to be for everyone. So we've marked that, and we'll kill that off now because we know exactly what you mean. I will move on and say I belong in that world. Say, Ryan, this is Downton, and saw it, and I was transported. Yeah. It was lovely. Actually, I was kind of reluctant leaving the cinema. I kind of wanted to climb in and Mr. Ben my way through it for a while and just escape from it all. Now, the Thursday Murder Club author Richard Osman discovers his ancestor formed an amateur detective group to solve a real-life killing. Well, anyone who's read that book, and his two of them, will know that that is gas. His 4 times great grandfather discovered a dead body in the 1800s, and the reason they know this is because he did the Who Do You Think You Are program, which I mentioned yesterday in my own context. But he found that story, which is really good. So I look forward to watching that, which is happening on June the 9th. See you later, Richard. And now I want to save my, I want to do my bit to save the planet. Oh, here we go again. Is there a college course for me? This is from the Irish Times. Question into, I presume, their education supplement. Interest in environment-related courses has grown hugely in recent years. So this year, CAO first preferences for these programs up by 35%. So the dinosaur is right in the ad for the UN. There is interest in it, and people, I think, next the next generation certainly are so clued into this in a way that I certainly never was. But 35% interest increase in interest, and I know that the Education Minister Norma Foley's plans include a new Leaving Cert subject, don't they? It says it here, climate action and sustainable development. That'll add to that. But for now, you've DCU's Environmental Science and Technology course, you've got NUI Galway's Environmental Science course, you've got TU Dublin's Environmental Health course. So there are ways around it until the course is there. Phil Lynott, Lynott convention coming to Dublin in honour of the legend's 72nd birthday. A lot of Lizzie fans out there, and we'll be glad to know the event will take place on August the 20th and celebrate the music and life of the Crumlin star. And the concert will take place in at the Well, St. Stephen's Green, Dublin, featuring Brian Downey's Alive and Dangerous, Paul J. Bulger, Johnny D. Fox, and a very special guest. So happy to mention that, because it'll be fun. Gosh, TikTok, the enormity of TikTok continues to astonish. And at the Cannes Film Festival, they've partnered with TikTok. And so as well as Anthony Hopkins and Idris Elba, they've actively encouraged the big TikTok stars, because they're bigger than TV and to some extent cinema stars, some of these creators. And I was only asking today, the guy who came second in the Eurovision, Sam Fender, and I was thinking, so who or what? Sam Ryder, sorry, got the wrong name. Sam Ryder, spot the old guy. Sam Fender, who is this gentleman on his TikTok? Is it a wristwatch? Anyway, Sam Ryder came second, and I said, who is he? He was just saw a picture of the paper. And they told me, because in fairness, they were on top of it all, and said, yeah, he's a TikTok superstar who sings in sort of high voice and covers, and then became the Eurovision representative for the UK and came second. Amazing. He would have won it, I would think, if the Ukraine situation hadn't overtaken it, and rightly so. But anyway, TikTok stars taking over the red carpet in the Cannes Film Festival. Now, the replacement theory, that's a dark story, but it's that horrible story about the 18-year-old suspect who allegedly shot and killed 10 people at a supermarket on Saturday in the heart of a black community in Buffalo, in New York, appears to have been motivated by this racist far-right conspiracy theory that has increasingly found footing in mainstream US politics. This is replacement theory, but I think it's a French expression, in the sense that it became known, originated in the French nationalist movement of the 1900s. And this, the alleged suspect here posted a 180-page document on the internet fixated on the notion of replacement theory, which is the notion that people from minority populations here and in the States and in Europe are replacing the existing white, largely Christian population. And the theory was embraced by far-right white nationalist groups globally, has inspired targeted mass killings, as you know, because the post that they're looking at, that the guy put up, includes references to other mass shooters who were motivated by racist ideology. And as we were listening to that, myself and my youngest were listening to a piece about this in the car yesterday, we were both shaking our heads going, how has this like whole grisly world of anti-Semitism and outright racism become such a thing again? You would, every, maybe it's the utopian hopeful optimist in one that says, well, we learn now that we can't be doing that, and that we can't be doing that, and that's why we're going to become evolved and a brilliant species. We're getting worse. That's a bleak assessment, but it's not pretty what's happening in the world, and that was a horrible situation. But these philosophies are propagated, and you know, as we're listening to a report about the Philippines at the weekend, and this their most likely incoming president, Bongbong, as he's called, the Marcos, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., and the absolute lies being peddled online so cleverly, quote unquote. It just makes me so nervous about what I read and what I see and what I believe anywhere. Unfortunately, it's a pity, but it's a true story. Okay, I'm a monochrome guy stuck in a Technicolor world. Yes, that's right. You're quoting me back because it said it could be next year's Eurovision success story. Oh gosh, I don't know if we're that stuck. Then again, the Earth survived the asteroid impact. The dinosaurs didn't. The Earth will survive climate change, says John. We and the animals won't. This Save the Planet byline is inaccurate. The Earth will still be here. Maybe save the planet as we know it. Well, that's going down a road. Mary Immaculate College in Limerick have just launched a new MEd in Education in Sustainability and Global Citizenship, which will help train teachers to integrate education for sustainability and global citizenship in their programmes. According to a text, environmentalist Duncan Stewart last month welcomed its launch as he also launched a book by MIC's Dr. Anne Dolan on teaching climate change to primary school students. So that's moving in the right direction, is it not? Are you hearing my chair squeaking as much as I am? Because it's really, I was just wondering, do people in Radioland in their cars and kitchens hear it as much as I like that? It's not like I've got a great bulk. It's a nice chair, by the way, but crikey, it's noisy. Right, 51551. I was very late to the delight, says a text. That is Downton Abbey. Binge watching the entire series in the first movie over Christmas. I fell in love with the loveliness of it all. Yes. So much so that I'm away to Highclere. Oh gosh, you're going to the actual place for a stay at their beautiful lodge on the estate. Excuse this very smug tweet, but one is most excited. Well, I do hope you have scones and tea. I mean, it does sound delightful. So enjoy yourself. Live the dream. I saw Downton in the Stella on Saturday. That's where you go to see it. Stunning scenery. Very elegant. I think it should be the last one, though. Where do they go from here with it? If I see anyone else fall madly in love with Lady Mary. Lady Mary. And she comes to the rescue to save the silent movie. It's all a bit corny. Yeah, but you go for the corn, but you stay for the view. You know, like, come on, you know what you're getting. And it feels like I'm on a boat, you know, fishing. You know, Jaws, where they're just, the tension is very, going to need a bigger chair. Hello, and don't forget environmental science with ecology and Atlantic Technical University. Gosh, my head melting just reading that. Ireland's first and longest running environmental science program, from Lisa in Sligo. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that very much. I was talking to the youngest about some music the other day, and whatever happened, Barbara Streisand's name came up for discussion. I said, did you hear that song? And I was going for a walk then, and I put on this song, and I said, God, this reminds me of, my mother. You know, don't know the way. So, I presume some people probably tried to cancel you for this, but sometimes there's mother like mammy music, you know, where they just go, jeez, the mothers love that. Like, I mean, of a certain generation. And this was a song, I could think of this one. I would include, say, I Know Him So Well, you know, Barbara Streisand and Elaine Page, that sort of thing. There's just, I would nearly include Janice Ian. I learned the truth at 70. Like, how do you know you were born in the 70s to a mother of a certain, amazing mother and father, of course, but of a certain age? And these were the songs that would have been played in little 45s and the vinyl. Maybe a glass of wine in the background. It was lovely. And they were enjoying it. And Neil Diamond would be in there. Definitely. Love of the Rocks. Ain't no big surprise. That sort of thing. Anyway, this one came up. It's got a little bit of Bee Gees. Got a little bit of Barbra Streisand. And you know what? Why not? I really enjoyed that, and the note she was hitting, spectacular. Barry and Robin Gibber of that Bee Gees, you could hear them in there. Won an Ivor Novello Award, just in case anyone's going, that's very cheesy. Well, it was good enough for Ivor Novello and his pals, it's good enough for us. And tomorrow, don't be surprised if Elaine Page and Barbara Dixon make a guest appearance on the program. We could do one every day, just because. 51551. Regarding your chair, you need WD-40. No, actually, in fairness to Janice, who is our Minister for Hardware came in with her own can of WD-40, put it on, unrequested, unsolicited, just a pure professional, put it on the chair. And alas, we are WD-40 proof, so it must be something else. There's somebody out there listening going, I know what you need. Either another chair, or I didn't even hear the chair until you mentioned it. I know, it's not great. And I'm going to do it loads because I just bold. Yeah. Ryan, how wonderful to hear Barbara Streisand, sorry. We used to play all her songs at full blast in our flat in Wellington Road in the late 70s. Dreamy, and our whole lives ahead of us. We were student nurses in Vince's. Oh, there you are. What a great song for you to. I bet you hit all the notes yourself and held them there. In midair. I saw Downton Abbey on my own, says the text. Good. For the first time, I took it from you. I always admire the way you spoke about going on your own. You actually make going on your own to the cinema trendy. So I did just that and I enjoyed it. So Ryan, thank you so much for giving me the confidence. Isn't that strange? You need confidence to go to a dark room on your own to watch a film. But you're right, it does. Ticket for one, please. Table for one. It's an unusual thing, but it's actually a very, very lovely thing. I mean, not all the time, obviously, for the whole rest of your life, but certainly sometimes you just, it's rather nice. A lovely distraction from the world, isn't that it? Now, that is a good question. Did all of Ireland live on Wellington Road in the late 1970s? Certainly these texts that we get, there's generally a lot of, I remember that from, so there's definitely a bit of that about it. Okay, let's go serious for a moment and refer back to our train of thought regarding living grief, and this comes from people who are in family dynamics where son, daughter, brother, sister have been lost to a controlling person. This email came in as on foot of all that conversation. Good morning, Ryan. I know there are other families out there whose adult children have decided to have no contact with them for whatever reason. I've been waiting for the day when the subject would be discussed in your programme because I knew that day would come. Our daughter had a baby when she was a young woman and she lived with us and was supported by us for the first few years of our grandson's life. They moved out of our home with our grandson and set up home for herself and her son where we continued to love and support them. After a while, our daughter met a man whom she became romantically involved with and very quickly became pregnant and her whole family grew. My husband and I were thrilled with our grandchildren. We doted on them all and it was magic. But little by little, we noticed the behaviour of our eldest grandson was changing from being a happy, contented boy to becoming full of anger when he was at home. My husband and I rather thought his punishments severe. We supported our daughter with her very busy home and did as much as we could to lessen her stress. We tried with a kind heart to explore how to improve the family relationships that had broken down. And one day I got a phone call from her to say we were never, ever going to see her or our grandchildren again. A few weeks later, our grandson was at our front door. He had left home and had walked to us. Things had gotten so bad at home, he had no choice but to leave. Our hearts are completely broken. And yes, it is a living grief, except that they're all only a short distance away from us. And we have tried so many ways to get some sort of reconciliation, but sadly, nothing positive has materialised. God help us, it's the proximity, isn't it, that acts as an added source of pain. Another says, my brother met his wife when he moved to Dublin for work. I could never really connect with my sister-in-law. She was always cold towards us for no reason we could think of, despite trying really hard to get along. My brother and I were always very close growing up. Over the years, he became more and more distant. And we still have contact, but it's rare. And when we do speak, it feels like I'm talking to a complete stranger. Sometimes he'll have to cut the conversation short when his wife enters the room. They rarely make it to family events. And when they do, there's a lot of fussing, often resulting in them having to leave early. The last time we saw them in the flesh was over 3 years ago. I've tried everything I can think of to improve relationships, but it's met with huge resistance and denial. I miss him. I miss who he was. And it breaks my heart not seeing my niece and my nephew. The collateral damage of it all as well, the youngsters in these relationships. I'm going through the same thing, says another. I cannot see my grandchildren because of unacceptable behaviour from my daughter and husband. I could not put words on how I'm feeling, but now I can. Living grief is exactly what it is. Heartbreaking doesn't describe it, but my life is torn apart and my day filled with thoughts of my grandchildren. I can go and see them from a distance at their schools, but have decided not to for now. And my heart is broken beyond repair. Another says, I am the dreaded daughter-in-law. I send pictures of our kids to their granny regularly. I never get a response. She sends them €20 in the card at Christmas. That's it. So sad and cold. She was at her other grandchild's party recently. But my heart is broken for my children. And one last one says, those messages you've been reading out made us feel less alone here. We thought it was just our family. My brother's the same, with a coercive, controlling wife who uses access to their kids as a power play. She has done such damage to my brother. I can see from afar the damage being done now to my niece and nephews, who now have no confidence to challenge anything. We as a family are really struggling, and it's heartbreaking to feel so helpless. Gosh, all complicated. Complicated stories we all have. But thank you for sharing those with us. And as I said, I think the only good out of all of that is the fact that those messages make a lot of people feel less weird, lonely, peculiar. Far from it. It's much more common, as I say, than you think. Back shortly.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Back to the music. We were playing a little bit of Bab Streisand. Nuala says, you're spot on mentioning Janice Ian. I shared a flat with three girls, 1979. Only one girl had a tape recorded and two tapes. So tape recorder probably and two tapes. Janice Ian and Meatloaf. Wow, what a choice. You'd always know the mood when you arrived home from work by listening to what was playing. If it was at 17, it was a night in. If it was Meatloaf, we were likely to be bedding out for the night. Great times. Great memories. Yeah, well, that's a long time ago now. A long time ago. That's from 2007, that's right. From Just Jackal, Stars in Their Eyes. What about mixtapes? Oh, I know. I'm showing my age now, says the text. But back in my day, if a fella made you a mixtape, it was better than 100 roses. OMG, I feel really old now. That's the first time I've ever said back in my day. Oh, God. You're having a meltdown right there on that text. You're realising everything. Everything. Let me just pass my condolences on to the family of Donald Courtney, who I met and interviewed in this very studio in 2016 at just the age of 52 following a short illness. I'm sorry to say that Donald passed away, but he was a joy to meet and a charming person to interview. And my condolences to his family and broader friends. I know that he was a very, very popular man. Not an easy time for his family today. So just sending you every good wish imaginable and condolences to the Courtney family on the passing of a very fine person who is gone way too soon. We've got to leave it there. We're thinking about a lot of different things today, and funny that we should be talking about Crumlin this morning. We have a very dear friend there this morning who has a big operation to happening. So again, without getting into all the details, hopefully you know what I'm talking about and we're thinking of her today. But we have to say goodbye to you for now. Claire Byrne standing by, and you have a good day, won't you? And we'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.